Hey, Pastor, have you ever gotten to your office on a Monday and revised your resume? Have you ever browsed the job ads at ministryjobs.com and found yourself envisioning your life at that large church in Florida? Do you find yourself sometimes dreaming about just stacking lumber at Home Depot? Leadership doesn't have to be that way, and I want to walk you down the pathway to healthy, vibrant leadership, taking your Monday into an eager, energized, and abundant lifestyle. My name is Kevin, veteran pastor with nearly 20 years of full-time ministry and leadership experience. I've walked through the tensions of trauma and drama that can come as a minefield of stress and anxiety to every pastor. Together, we're going to learn the simplicity of leadership that breathes life to you rather than consume everything from you, in simple strategic steps leading you to clarity, creativity, and a little bit of cash flow. Growth is possible, and it's inside your reach. Now, grab your notebook and let's dig into it.
Hey, Pastor, have you ever felt like your church is stuck? Like no matter what you try, your congregation just isn't engaging the way that you know they could. What if I told you there was a way to reignite that fire, inspire your people, and make more disciples than ever before? I am thrilled to invite you to the Make More Disciples Challenge, a five-day experience designed to help you break your church out of its indifference coma. Over five powerful lessons, I'll give you the tools you need to discover what's holding your church back, reignite that passion in your members, and build a culture of discipleship that changes lives. This is more than a challenge. It's a step toward transforming your church into a vibrant, mission-driven community. The Make More Disciples Challenge starts soon, so don't wait. Head over to my website, pastorsthriving.com, sign up today, and join me for this life-changing journey.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Pastor friend? So glad to connect with you today. I pray you're well-blessed, encouraged. Man, I am excited to be able to dive into some great content this year. I am really producing some, going after some work right now when it comes to helping pastors produce more and better disciples. Man, this is going to be the year of discipleship and leadership development for me. And that's what I want to do to help you in the context of what you're facing and experiencing and going after and working so hard to develop and accomplish in your world. And so I want to talk to you. I'm going to put out several like snippet episodes, you know, shortened, maybe less than 12 minutes or so, because I want them to just be kind of on rapid fire succession. And today I want to talk to you just for a minute about a mindset shift when it comes to multiplying disciples. I have been in this zone for weeks now where I'm actually developing two courses and like a long mastery level course that I'm working with pastors on right now to just really drill into the heart of this matter, because I think it's so crucial, it's so powerful, and it's so necessary. As I put out a Facebook post, 2 weeks ago, regarding this, and I just asked a very simple question. Like, here was my question: hey, Pastor, in just one word, describe the biggest obstacle your church faces when it comes to growing disciples. I put this post out over a week ago, and still today, I'm still getting comments about what that thing is. And let me give you a couple of examples: priority, people, commitment, myself, engagement, willingness, distraction, volunteers, assimilation, consistent attendance, criticalness. I'm not sure that's a word. Attendance, time. Let's see here. Engagement, money, time, desire, faithfulness, participation, systems, commitment, showing up, the pastor. I'm not seeing this one a whole lot in here, but by far, the biggest comment that I get when I ask questions around this is the word apathy or indifference. People just don't care. They don't see the importance of this anymore. And so what happens, and I got to be honest with you, it's funny that we say that. I don't have to be honest with you. We should just always be honest. But, you know, the simple reality is that oh man, this is going to be tough for me to say this, but I need you to hear it. And I need you to understand that I love you and I'm caring about you and I'm trying to develop you, but everything rises and falls on leadership. John Maxwell originated that statement. And so one of these things that, you know, a couple of these statements that are on here, the pastor, time, consistency, assimilation, you know, the reality is that the church is going to follow what the pastor leads into. And if it's not appropriate or if it's not in the right manner, it's not going to be done. And there's a simpleness in how this needs to go down and in what ways you can do this and work on this from a perspective that really gets some dynamic results. So a couple things that I want you to know about is making more disciples is really the very core of what Christ put us here to do. That's no new news to you. It is what it is. The issue is that we try to find ways to do this from very programmatic approaches that fall short of producing true disciples. This is not about programs. In fact, I was doing a pitch the other day for my upcoming course called the Make More Disciples Challenge, and I felt like I stepped on a landmine with the guy by using the word program. And because to be honest, this is not a program. Nothing that I'm producing right now is a program. It's a mind shift or an ideology or a mentality or a thinking pattern and a process that needs to be put in place so that people can grow. And so we've got to get rid of the programmatic structure producing disciples. This is not the way this was. You know, like my favorite thought about this, you're going to hear me repeat this like over and over and over again, but like I love the way that Jesus kind of presents this in the Gospels when he's calling his disciples. This is literally what this is, right? Probably one of my favorite ones is the book of Mark, I guess, because I don't know, I just love the book of Mark. I preached through Mark a couple years back and it was so good. And you know, when Jesus calls his disciples, right here in Mark chapter 1, Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. A little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, and they were mending their nets. And immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and they followed him. I absolutely love this context and this mentality because it demonstrates something that's just so powerful and profound. I'm going to get into this in another episode, so I'm just going to flirt with it right here. But discipleship happened right then. The beginning moments of discipleship happened right then. Discipleship is what? It is literally the following of Jesus, the following after, the growing in, and all those things. And right after this, we actually see Jesus giving the apostles authority to go out and do the work. In Mark chapter 3, you see this context. He went up to a mountain, called those who he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. You see, I think the number one mentality that needs to happen when it comes to discipleship movements is that we are over-preparing people. I want you to kind of get in context with this. I know I'm going to make some people frustrated with this, and I'd love to set up, you know, some conversations around it, but I think we're over-preparing people to do this. In fact, you know, another one of my episodes coming up is I'm going to talk about my absolute favorite discipleship story, and maybe I'll even have this guy on here and we'll do some interviewing together, but this is not about programs. This is about mentalities. It's about a preconceived idea about the direction I want to take people in and what I need to show them, what they need to know to be dangerous in the Word of God, okay? It's not about knowing everything. It's about knowing one thing that I can utilize and advance so that other people can follow Jesus Christ together. So we got to get rid of this programmatic mentality that falls short of producing true disciples. The next idea that I want to just present to you is there's some dangers in mistaking attendance for transformation. You know, when we talk about this idea of when I'm asking pastors, you know, what's going on in the context of your church when it comes to discipleship nowadays, they're talking about apathy, they're talking about indifference, they're talking about people just don't care about this kind of stuff anymore. And I don't think that there's pastors out there that are mistaking attendance, not by and large, it's not a lot of them, but they're people coming to a church or your Sunday morning service is not an act of discipleship. Your Sunday morning service is, it may be on some levels, but it's not, by and large, it's not the best one. It would be intriguing to find out why we do what we do. Why do we have these moments? What are these specific moments for? And, one of the things that I'm on a war path against right now is to disrupt the flow of people who just come to sit and high five the pastor and say, "Hey man, that was a good talk." And, on their way out the door so that they can go to lunch on Sunday, they feel like they're doing some good work and they're doing some good movement and they've got some good things going on, but that's not discipleship. I mean, let's face it, that's not transformation. Transformation is the two or three guys that are following up, the two or three people that are following up with you after the fact, and they're like, "Man, that wrecked my world and I need help. I need to be able to take some practical steps on what to do with this and how this needs to look." I think this is all about the concept or the context of making availability so that deeper, more dynamic conversations can take place. And, this is where like home groups started, and this is where small groups began and assimilation groups and, cell groups, or whatever. The concept of grouping became a thing, and it's still being fleshed out. I've talked to so many pastors recently, and the one thing that that just kind of strikes me is how many people that are in really, really age-old churches are still wrestling with the question, how does discipleship supposed to work in my context? Why have we not gotten this figured out? Why are we still wrestling through the implications of what this looks like and what it does? I have some points along this that I want to present to you. It really kind of unpacks itself in the Make More Disciples Challenge that I utilize to be able to help this become full circle and really, really practical. But church attendance or the numbers that you have on Sunday is definitely not an aspect of discipleship and assimilation. It's those assimilation tactics that are signs of transformation or discipleship in your context. It really comes down to how well you as a pastor are making it possible for people that are in your audience, that are in your seats, how accessible is it for them to follow the Lord more closely and more powerfully? I got an action step for you. Actionable first step. How to assess whether your church is more program-oriented or disciple-oriented. So how do we do that? How do you assess that? I mean, honestly, I think you're going to know right off the bat. You don't even have to assess it. But for the one or two that may kind of consider, well, what are we? What am I? If the concept of your church is about a class, a six-week class or a Sunday school class or a group structure that requires people to come around and get content that you as the pastor are teaching them, or you have an appointed person, or it's an elder group or discipleship, or I'm sorry, a deacon's team or something like that that's navigating through that, that's a program-oriented structure. And the one thing I see wrong with a program-oriented structure is, in one of the churches that I used to go to, the language that was constantly used was, no matter where you are or wherever you are, just take your next step. And they had this circular motion that was wrapped around the idea of discipleship and assimilation. The problem with a concept like that is that the circle never ends. You're always involved in the circle somewhere. There's no stopping point for what is being developed in you. And so it feels like I'm never fully discipled. There's something that I'm always lacking. I live a little bit on the edge. I'm kind of a rebel when it comes to these kind of things. And I'd like to think that I would do this a little bit more like Jesus does it. But and I think this might be where, like, on the DISC profile, for those of you who understand the DISC profile, this is where the D part of my personality comes into play. because I like to get a little bit dangerous with my knowledge and then just go execute on it. I don't like to wait for perfection. I don't like to wait for all the things to be prepared. And it gets me in trouble a little bit, but I also understand it gets me actionable on a lot of other levels that I want to see and want to experience. Here's what I would entice you to do or encourage you to do. Find the one person in your church, 1, 2, 10 people, however many, maybe, just start small. Don't go big with this. Find the one or two people that are in your church that you were like, you know, that's been a sleeper for a while. He's been here. I want to get to know him, her, and I want to put them to work. I want to give them some ability to be able to take more steps when it comes to their own movement of the goodness of God. All right, listen, I've already unveiled like 6 different episodes that I want to utilize inside of this content. I've already gone 2 minutes over what I said I was going to go. So I'm going to stop this right here. We're going to reframe this, come back to it, and dive into it more profoundly in another story. So this is it. Next time we meet, I'm going to tell you my favorite discipleship story that I've ever experienced. All right, you come back and we'll go from there.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today to Pastors Thriving Podcast. If you found today's episode helpful, I'd love for you to just take a minute and leave a review and maybe a few stars on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback really helps me to grow this community and to reach even more pastors just like you. And listen, if you're ready to take the next step, check out one of my upcoming courses designed to help you thrive in ministry and life. For more details or to connect directly with me, you can send me an email at coaching@kevinelworth.live or visit my website, pastorsthriving.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.